At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Welcome. This is Wide Receiver Fever Part 2 here on Wacky Wednesday. I'm Adam Best, here as always with Sterling and producer Richard doing his thing behind the scenes. What up, man?
Yo, you took the chain off?
No, I didn't take the chain off. It's right there.
You part of the mafia, Best?
Nah, man. Adidas is German.
You're making Matt Verderim look Greek right now.
Well, I do have dark hair and a 5 o'clock shadow that never leaves. So even though I have like no Italian in me, every once in a while, someone thinks that I'm a Corleone or something.
Is Tommy DeVito joining us on this show?
Tommy Cutlets.
You go to a restaurant and you order the gabagool, and instead of a water, you just get a nice tall glass of olive oil. Like, that's what you're looking like right now.
I don't even know what the gabagool is, but I've had Adidas jackets since you were probably watching Sesame Street or something. So this is
last year. That's not saying much. I mean, I got to learn how to count. I'm a pretty big fan.
Yeah. Hey, the count is my favorite character. Always has been.
Oh, Adam DMC's good from Angry Drunk in German. I like that route too.
I like it. Yeah. Who's your favorite Sesame Street character? Do you have one?
Oh, well, probably Big Bird. I mean, that dude's just a big ass bird. I don't know. It seems like it's got to be the good old Big Bird.
Not Cookie Monster. The count is mine, but I like Cookie Monster. I feel bad for Oscar the Grouch. Everyone is always wondering why he's so upset. He's homeless, guys. Come on. Well, we've got a great show for you guys today. Probably, if not our favorite guest of the year, one of them that we're having back. And we're going to do mock draft 2.0 for you guys. Collectively with the chat, we're going to be a war room. We're going to go through 4 rounds. Should be a lot of fun.
And by the way, yeah, we're trying to stay up to date with the Rashee Rice stuff. Part of this is too, we want to let everything play out. We did hear the rumors that there's a warrant out for him. We'll see. Again, we'll try and wait for more information to come. Better to be correct than first. So we'll keep you updated on that front as well. But Masters are just around the corner tomorrow. I know I'm throwing a little bit of money down. And if you've not downloaded the FanDuel app yet, you'll definitely want to take advantage of this offer. I actually put my bet down on FanDuel myself. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10 and place a first wager of $5 on any live bet. Once your first bet settles, you'll receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, bit.ly/arrow150. You can find that link in the description below our stream, as well as scan the QR code on screen to start signing up. Again, the link is bit.ly/arrow150. The offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in the United States. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer, as well as the link.
All right, time to whisk us away to mock draft 2.0. I'm going to control PFF's mock draft simulator. We're going to do 4 rounds, and just for time constraints here, because we have a guest halfway through the show, we're going to do no trades. That's the stipulation tonight. Hey, and it's not that far-fetched. Maybe nobody wants to trade with the Chiefs coming off back-to-back titles and 3 and 5 years. We know the Buffalo Bills said, you can go anywhere, Stephon Diggs, but you can't go to Kansas City. We know that the Steelers had a similar message for Deontay Johnson, so no trades.
I completely agree. And before we do that, final thought on Rashee Rice, because I think a lot of people are wondering. This is new in the past 15 minutes. This is according to a Dallas website, in ABC, WFAA. An arrest warrant has been issued for Rashee Rice in connection with the involvement in that multi-vehicle crash. Sources tell WFAA. Rice now faces 8 charges in the case, 6 counts of collision involving bodily injury, 1 count of collision involving serious bodily injury, and 1 count of aggravated assault, according to the arrest warrant. State Senator Royce West, who is representing Rice as his attorney, confirmed last week that his client acknowledged to investigators that he was driving the Lamborghini SUV involved in that crash. Again, that is what we have as of now. That is, again, according to WFAA.
Not great, Bob, but we will wait for more information to unfold. And in the interim, I think it's a great time to be talking wide receivers and thinking about contingency plans. So let's fire up the mock draft simulator. Here we go. Ooh, okay. Top players on the board, a center, a safety, a linebacker, a center. Ladd McConkey at 33, wide receiver from Georgia. Cornerback TJ Tampa from Iowa State. We have Mike, how do you say this? Sainristil? I think that's how you say it. Maybe.
So we're at pick 32 right now, is what you're saying, correct?
32, correct. Yeah. First round, no trades. No one wanted to let us go up with Amarius Mims or Brian Thomas Jr., whoever Chiefs fans want us to go up and get. Not going to happen in this mock. Cornerback Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle out of Florida State. Wide receiver Troy Franklin out of Oregon. And then we have Jordan Morgan, who's a tackle, but probably a guard in the Andy Reid system because of arm length. We have some edges. We do have Kingsley. I'm not going to butcher his last name, from BYU.
Say it. I want to hear it.
We'll just call him Kingsley. You want to take a crack at it?
No, thank you. I'm going Ladd McConkey at 32 since he is still on the board right now. I don't know your thoughts on this, but even if we want to, you and I can do a little disagreement here. We can both pick a guy and go from there. I do see Angry Drunken German saying trade down at no value. We're not allowed to in this thing we're doing right now. We're trying to say if they stay at 32. The Chiefs tried trading up and back last year, did not happen. So in this hypothetical, I get it, Corey. We're all on the same page. I want to trade back too. But in this hypothetical, it takes 2 to tango, like in real life. So we are not going to trade back, even though we want to. Fisk is intriguing, but I'm going Ladd McConkey. I view Ladd McConkey as the George Karloftis offensively, a guy who can come in week one, game one, and make an impact. Does he have the upside as maybe some of the other wide receivers? Maybe not. But he's a guy who you know can come in, and he will be game ready week one. I'm a big fan of Ladd McConkey. I think he's getting thrown into this slot category. He's not just a slot. He's a guy who can play outside. He actually played outside more at Georgia than he did in the slot. If you actually watched his tape, I think you'd be more impressed with him. I think some people just see, oh, he's a this size white dude. He must be Wes Welker. That's not his game. That's just not who he is. He can play in the slot, but he can play on the outside. He's also a punt returner. I asked him this question. If you've not seen the interview I did with Ladd McConkey, I really enjoyed it. You can check it out on Stacking the Box. That is under the Fan-Sided umbrella. I think he fits what Kansas City likes. I think he's a guy who you can trust game one, week one. You can use him as a returner, and you can move him all over the field. He brings a lot of value to Kansas City at 32. That's the way I think the Chiefs should go.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I agree with you. Brock Bowers played a lot in the slot, so he couldn't play in the slot as much as maybe they would have wanted him to last season. The big concern here is injuries. He hasn't been able to stay on the field a lot. That kind of scares you with your first round pick. And ideally, I think the real value at wide receiver is around later, maybe even around three, because once you get past the big three, and we'll ask our guest about this, I'm not sure there's a huge gap between 4 and 15. I think the gap between 3 and 4 might be bigger than 4 and 15, actually. So I would love to take somebody else here and take a wide receiver later, but unless you want to take a cornerback here, which I'm not sure the Chiefs want to do again after McDuffie, I think McConkey, just by process of elimination, is the only real value, the only real fit. So we're going to go Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, wide receiver at 32. And we're going to hope that the board goes our way for pick 64. Here we go.
Oh, I didn't know if we needed to do that or not. I thought it'd be kind of fun.
The pick is in. So the guys on the top of the board right now are halfback Jonathan Brooks from Texas, Marshawn Kneeland, edge Western Michigan, wide receiver Jalen Polk out of Washington, safety Jaden Hicks, linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, guard Christian Haynes. Kind of interesting with Tooney coming off the PEC, getting older. Trey Smith, I think, probably on his way out. As much as Chiefs fans love him, I think it's going to be hard to keep everybody. We already saw that with L'Jarius Sneed. Then we have linebacker Junior Colson.
Stop naming linebackers. We don't
know. It's who's on the top of the board. And then you have cornerback Kyrie Jackson. I don't know how many of you guys read Dane Brugler's The Beast. That came out today. It's like the most comprehensive draft guide there is. He had Kyrie Jackson as the 21st overall corner, and PFF has him 67th on their big board. This is how difficult draft prognosticating is, because he's this crazy prospect with pterodactyl arms, but people are all over the place with him. So I think this is a little early for him.
Pterodactyl arms, the short ones or the long ones?
The long ones. T-Rex. Okay. T-Rex are the short ones, okay. You know, the baby arms. And then you have Braylon Trice, edge Washington, another halfback, and Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. another wide receiver, Devontae Walker out of North Carolina, and then Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon, defensive tackle, and Devondre Sweat, defensive tackle out of Texas. Now we did
come
sweat.
On now. We come
did,
on now,
we
baby.
Did Sweat last time. I think we should probably shake it up and go Dorlus this time, just so we're not, diversify a little bit. What do you think?
I like what Anonymous Mango says. His draft, Dominique Pooney, he should be listed as guard but can play across the whole offensive line. Has a lot of experience at both tackle positions as well. I'm not necessarily saying in round two or anything like that.
Round three, I think he'll still be there.
But I think it's very intriguing. He might never be a starter. So if your thoughts are have to pick a starter here. But what if you want to draft the next Allegretti, Andrew Wiley? I know those guys have been undrafted in the seventh round dudes or sixth round guys. I get that. But if you want to have a little more upside, I think Dominique Pooney is a very intriguing one. Again, I'm always a fan of building in the trenches. I think you guys are right. I kind of forgot about that. Devondre Sweat did have a driving incident of his own, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe let's not go with him.
Yeah, I saw one of my favorite comments I saw was, get ready to learn the fifth round, buddy. You know that meme about get ready to learn Chinese, buddy, with Adam Silver?
Well, here we go. He was arrested in Austin over the weekend on suspicion of driving while intoxicated. And we're going to get more details according to I'm trying to find out the – it doesn't matter. But he was released from jail after posting a $3,000 bond in the state of Texas. A Class B misdemeanor is punishable by up to 180 days in jail, a fine of up to $2,000 or both.
Will probably affect his draft stock a little bit. I don't think it's going to bump him down two rounds or anything like that, but it might be the reason to go Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon at the same position over him when they're lumped in at 73 and 74 on the big board.
Can we also talk about why would you ever even put yourself in a situation like this when you're about to get drafted? Like, why does this even cross players' minds? Like, if you're about to get drafted and make life-changing amounts of money, like, obviously, it was fine for Laramie Tunsil, but even that situation, like, what? Just wait. Just wait. Like, you are about to literally make life-changing amount of money, barring you not doing anything ridiculous. Just work out. Just watch sports and work out. Like, sorry, this is easy for me to say right now, but, like, if someone goes, hey, dude, just don't be an idiot, and we'll give you multi-million dollars, just tons of money. You know what I'm going to do? Sit my ass on the couch or work out.
There's a reason, though, that the expression youth is wasted on the young is a thing. You know what he's going to do? He's going to be 22. That's what these guys do. And I don't know. Everyone makes mistakes, and a bunch of these guys do every draft process. They get a little bit too big for their britches, maybe. So pull the trigger on Dorlus.
Fine. Sorry, I was going off on a tangent there about how, you know, we would all be in jail right now, but because people are good at football, they're not.
I feel you. We could go wide receiver again. We could double up, or we could go running back. But
I liked your cornerback idea right there. That was not the worst idea you've had, Best.
I like the cornerback idea too, but now I'm feeling, man, Dane Brugler poured some serious cold water today on Kyrie Jackson, having him as his 21st best corner. I just don't know if I can take him at 67, especially when there are some guys around 95 that might be there that I like just as much. Man, this is tough.
Is your dude from Texas, the tight end, is he still there?
He is not. I named everybody that's still there. I mean, I can keep going down the list.
That's fine. We don't have to do that.
Javon Baker, man, it is. This is not great the way this board has fallen for the Chiefs, actually.
No, this would actually be this is not ideal, some say.
No tackles, no obvious corner. I think they got to take the defensive tackle here. Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon. I like him.
Okay.
I think he can play right away. I'm not saying he'll be a star right away, but I think he can get on the field, and that's what you want from your first two or three picks. Okay. Number 95. Well, one of the first names that comes up is your buddy, Brendan Rice, but also Dominic Pooney out of Kansas, who they have listed at tackle, but I think we all think will play guard probably. Jerrion Jones, cornerback, Florida State is also there. His teammate is not. Andrew Phillips from...
I love Lauren Shanks. This is a great comment. Time to restart the mock.
Hey, sometimes this happens on draft night. And if you can't, I mean, if we were another show, I would definitely be restarting it. But this might be the pickle the Chiefs find themselves into. What was I going to say?
Here? I like Dominic Pooney here. Dominic, you know my thoughts, but I'm big in the trenches. And I think with the uncertainty with Joe Tooney and Trey Smith in the future, mm-hmm. if you want to have a super sub in the, on your roster, I think you go Dominic Pooney. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially when you have Mike Callahan, who can play all three on the interior. Pooney can play potentially four of the five outside of center.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The guy I wanted here, Andrew Phillips, the corner out of Kentucky, might be the spagsiest player in this draft. He looks like a Chiefs corner. He is gone. So I'm going to agree with you. I actually think there's a case that the interior offensive linemen in the Kansas City system are more important than the tackles because of how good Patrick Mahomes is at evading outside pressure. The only way you can really get him usually is that like inside swarm, if the pocket just collapses. And perhaps that's why Veach and Reed and Andy Heck have put such an emphasis on the three guys inside and kind of treated the outside guys as, hey, we'll find them as we go. So we're going to take Dominic Pooney, the local kid out of Kansas. I think MU fans and K-State fans might not be thrilled about that. But
I'm a zoo guy. If you help the team, I don't care what school you went to.
That's right. That's the way to see it.
To an extent.
He's a beaker no more. He's a chief. We just pulled the trigger. So we have some interesting players here. We have, gosh, how do you say this edge's name out of Alabama? Justin Eboy-Jibe. I don't know how
nailed
that's
it.
That's you supposed to be. Yeah, probably did not nail it, but we'll just go ahead like I did. Malik Washington out of Virginia. Really interesting player. Probably a slot only. So Christian Jones, tackle out of Texas. I like him. He actually has arm length of 35 plus inches, which is kind of, I think, what the Chiefs are looking for in a tackle. I just don't think they're going to go edge here. We have Smith Wade, the cornerback out of Washington State. We have Kalen Carson, the cornerback out of Wake Forest. Halfback Will Shipley out of Clemson. I like him, but maybe in the fifth round? I don't think they're going to take a halfback in the fourth round, do you?
No, I'd be shocked.
I'd probably take the developmental tackle out of Texas and infuse a little bit more beef into that offensive line. What do you think?
Beef it up, dude. I love this comment from Flapjack City. It's 2024. If we can give Sterling fireworks, we should be able to see this magical draft board.
Yeah, well, talk to PFF.
I also like Luke J saying, Sterling, I have a Busch Light calling your name. I can hear it. I can hear that, the sweet, sweet sound.
The crackle.
Bush.
Oh, Christian Jones. I think that's the pick. I am just not thrilled with this draft.
Well, you did it, not me, Best.
Hey, we did it together. I pushed the button, but this is what happens when you draft last or in the bottom four every year. You don't always have trade partners. And as far as teams wanting to trade up to 32, I know people like to say that because maybe somebody wants the fifth year option. The reason not to do that is if you try to trade with 33 instead of 32, you have an entire 24 hours to work that trade with 33 and 34, and you don't have to deal with the Chiefs. So, and you can maybe play those two teams against each other over the course of a day. So I just don't know. We may be able to trade up. Trading back, I don't know. We're going to go Christian Jones, tackle out of Texas, and wrap up this mock.
We're getting through this one out. If this happens.
Hey, here's the grading from PFF. Ladd McConkey, the 33rd player on their board. We get him at 32. They gave us an A-.
Yeah.
Brandon Corliss, he is 73 on their big board. We reached a little bit at 64, but they gave us a B- there. Dominic Pooney, 95th on their board, or 96th on their board. We got him at 95, A-. And then Christian Jones, the tackle of Texas, 130 on their big board. We got him at 131. They gave us an A-. So they still gave us a B+. You know, it's a good serviceable draft for where we picked. It's just not the grand slam beach ripped everybody off night that I think Chiefs Kingdom wants. But we might not get that. We can't get that every year.
I think the Rolling Stones had a song about that.
Yeah. What was that song?
You can't always get what you want.
But you get what you need.
Yeah.
So we're going to get like another guard and a linebacker and a safety instead of like a receiver. Is that what the song's trying to tell us? What Keith and Nick and the boys are telling us, that we're going to get the non-sexy positions?
Oh, angry drunken German. Veach always drafts two guys no one's ever heard of. You forgot that part.
Well, that will happen on day three, of course. He'll find somebody from some school you've never heard. It'll be like Lockheed Martin State or something. I think that's like a weapons company. But
yeah, I don't think that in Black and Veach. I'm pretty sure they don't.
Oh, come on, bro. Zach says we are trading Rice to Texas Penitentiary.
Oof. It's your brother, dude.
I know. I said, bro. It's funny. I mean, sometimes you have to laugh so you don't cry, right? Just when we think we have a receiver. We'll see. Hopefully, I think things could have been a lot worse. I know we don't want to get any more into it, but things could have been a lot worse. What would you like the Chiefs to do differently if they can trade than this mock?
Yeah, have this mock just get far away from the actual reality. I actually like Ladd McConkey at 32. That's the truth there. I do like Ladd McConkey. 64 was a little bit of a buzzkill there. Again, with the whole Tavondre Sweat thing, that's really thrown a wrench into what I would prefer to have happen. I like Dominic Pooney, but I wouldn't go 3-4 with back-to-back offensive linemen. I think you take one there. I do think the Chiefs really do need an edge rusher. a younger guy. Again, I understand FAU's a young dude, Karloff is a young dude, but just in general, I think the bringing back of Mike Dana, I don't know if that says more about FAU or more about Charles Omenihu, right? Because Charles Omenihu on the final year of his contract going to miss a large chunk of the season. Where do the Chiefs actually view him going forward? Mike Dana, I think they like, but I still don't know if they trust Mike Dana as a legitimate starter the majority of the time. Again, he started a lot of games last year. He was the de facto starter last year, but I think we all admit Charles Omenihu really took that role over. Mm-hmm. I kind of like what the Eagles do, man. The Eagles have like 8 dudes they throw at you in a rotation. I wouldn't mind the Chiefs getting another young dude and have a nice rotation. Karloftis is a little bit of a anomaly, a little bit where he plays so many snaps, but that's the outlier, right? Like if FAU is only a situational pass rusher, maybe you have him and Mike Dana kind of switching out because Mike Dana can kick back in, but you still want to have another body. If that's the case, you want another body who's young, who's on a rookie contract. Because if you look at the contract that edge rushers are getting right now, it's absurd. Look at what Josh Allen got today. Now, again, Josh Allen's a very, very good player, but 5-year, 150 mil. That's 30 million per season.
That's like the other Josh Allen money. And that's just where the market's going. But one of the reasons I liked Brandon Dorlus there in the second round is he has inside-outside versatility on the defensive line. He needs to add some strength, but I think he can be moved around. And Spags really puts a premium on having guys that he can play both inside and out and move around. He likes those funky NASCAR lineups. He likes to have kind of edges inside and Chris Jones outside on third down. I think it's a funky look that offensive lines struggle to scheme for. So they might look for a guy that, I mean, this is what they've done with Mike Dana and Charles Omenihu and George Karloftis. They all can play inside and out along with Chris Jones. So I think they'll probably continue to focus on guys like that.
Yeah, and that's why I think if Darius Robinson from Mizzou is there at 32, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Chiefs draft him for that exact reason, because he does seemingly fit that sort of Spags game plan of inside-outside.
Yeah, I think the fan base might be a little upset with that because it would feel like deja vu. It would feel like local edge that probably isn't a first rounder picked at the end of the first rounder.
Oh, he's definitely a first rounder. That's what I'm saying. He would have to fall to Kansas City at 32.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'd have to really look at that. Looking at the Beast and some other things today, I did not see him in the first round. I think he was pretty high and he's had a little bit of a free fall. But you never know. Guys that are expected to go in the first every year fall to the second. Guys who are thought to be third rounders, you always have the Patriots seemingly pick somebody that they could have picked like 2 rounds later. I don't know why they do that. The Raiders do the same thing. I mean, maybe this new regime in Vegas doesn't do it like they used to in Oakland, where they reach to comical degrees. But I prefer the Chiefs not do that. Take the best player on the board.
Oh yeah, I'm 1,000% in agreement. That's what the Chiefs did with bringing in Hollywood Brown. And I will say, the issue with Rashee Rice makes things a lot more murky. Where again, maybe you did not have to draft a running or a wide receiver in the first round, but that's why again I like Ladd McConkey, because game 1, week 1, we'll see what happens with Rice. But if he's going to miss any games, you're going to have to most likely have a rookie who can be ready. And Ladd McConkey, I think, is that type of guy.
I think so, too.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Well, let's bring in everybody's favorite wide receiver guru. It's Matt Harmon of Reception Perception and Yahoo. Welcome back, Matt.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Guru, always too much of a title. You know, way too high of expectations. But I always appreciate you guys.
Maybe.
Enthusiast.
Okay.
Maybe enthusiast to the nth degree. Either way, I appreciate you guys for having me as always. Obviously, we got some breaking news here on Rashee Rice. Good, bad timing, depending on your perspective. But
Happen. No, we don't know anything about it. It didn't happen. Rashee Rice is going to be there week one.
Man, what a time. But hey, excited to talk about this draft class with you guys. It's going to be super fun.
Yeah, and the first question is kind of affected by that, but we can kind of factor in what if Rashee Rice isn't available for part of the season. Hopefully he will be back at some point, but considering what Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice do and don't do well, what wide receiver archetype would complement them the best in this draft?
Yeah, so assuming that Rashee Rice and Marquise Brown are both on the field in week one and like these guys are both ready, I do think that they have a really nice, just clear path to what they need at wide receiver, because Marquise Brown is a guy that I think is best used off the ball and he's best used on kind of these in breaking routes. Like, and I think the Arizona Cardinals got it halfway right, you know, where they used him on the right routes. In my opinion, they used him on a heavy amount of kind of like dig routes and post routes and everything like that. At the same time, I also think they used him way too much as a true X receiver. So a guy that was on the ball, not a lot of pre-snap motion. I think the Chiefs can definitely use the first part of that, the route tree, but also then mix up the usage for him. And I think there's a clear path to him to be a flanker and a guy that moves into the slot on occasion. But obviously, Rashee Rice was primarily their power slot receiver last year, which was a big change, by the way, from his collegiate usage. Like when I charted him for Reception Perception, he was not a guy that won outside in college. He did not get a lot of separation at that perspective, but incredibly inspired move by Kansas City to take what was basically a vertical X receiver his final year at SMU, albeit playing through an injury as well, and then move him inside. I actually asked Rashee Rice about this at the Super Bowl, like, when did that plan come together? And he said it was, you know, right away. As soon as he was drafted, that was the vision. And Brett Veach talked about it in the post-draft presser. Honestly, I wish I had, you know, kind of seen that and known that from that point on, because it was a really, like I said, inspired move by the team. So that gives them, if we're talking about their 11 personnel package, a clear sort of idea, just having that perimeter X receiver that they need. And there are options that should be available in the late first round for them. There should be available options in like day two for them. Plenty of just kind of clear, again, paths. If Rashee Rice is on the field in week one, I think they need that true X receiver. But if he's not there, that opens up the door for more fun possibilities with some of the guys who are better slot receivers in this class.
Yeah, well, let's hit that right there. The Chiefs have actually never drafted a wide receiver in the first round under Brett Veach. So which round two or three receivers would fit the KC offense?
Yeah, so I think A.D. Mitchell is going to go first round. I think that's been kind of the tenor of the talk from insiders lately. He would be the ideal Chiefs receiver to me. I would love them to draft him at pick 32. I think that just makes so much sense for what they need. But again, I don't really expect that to happen. I think when you look at some of the guys kind of sort of down the board, I do think Javon Baker could be an interesting X receiver candidate. I think he's got some work to do in terms of his ability to beat press coverage and man coverage consistently, but he shows you an ability to win on routes as that vertical, X receiver. But again, a little more, I think he's got some juice underneath to him as well. So that's kind of a guy that, like, day two, I think makes sense for them. I have no idea where to slot Xavier Legette, because I could see him going in the first round. I could see him going in the second round, and I go, like, kind of game by game how much I like Xavier Legette, because there are some games
him.
Like
Matt, you love Xavier Legette. Come on, we all love Xavier Legette.
There are so many games where I see him, I'm like, yeah, that's not for me. But then, like, the next game, I'm like, nah, that there is for me. Like that I can get behind. And he's just tough because I think he's kind of a developmental player, but they have that's the fun thing about the Chiefs right now. Again, hypothetically, Rashee Rice is there and Marquise Brown is there. I no longer think that they need this rookie to be like a 120 target player right off the bus. They can have this guy play and stretch the field and be, you know, a guy that you throw the ball to four or five times a game. You know, that being said, again, with the Rice stuff, it does sort of throw that into question. But yeah, like, Xavier Legette would be an ideal candidate for them to kind of bring along slowly as that X receiver if he's truly available on day two.
I'm having some Jonathan Mingo PTSD. I'm also getting Treylon Burks vibes from him. I mean, watching him sometimes is tantalizing, but when you really dig in, there are some serious red flags. So I think the sticker price would have to be 64, not 32, probably.
The only thing I will say about, like, those comparisons, there is a guy in this class that I think perfectly fits into that bucket of receiver, and maybe we can talk about him in just a second. But I do think Xavier Legette, like, I think you want him to play on the outside. To me, like, I like Jonathan Mingo as a slot receiver only. I thought he made sense in sort of this big, like, kind of how the Chiefs used Rashee Rice. But then you watch the Panthers offense, if you were unfortunate to do that. You watch the Panthers offense last year, and it was actually Adam Thielen playing in that role. And Adam Thielen's back this year, so Jonathan Mingo is probably never getting that shot as that slot receiver for them. So, and there was just really nothing on Mingo's film that told you, oh yeah, this is a guy that can line up day one on the outside and just go to work. Like, there was just nothing there that really you could think that was going to happen, but that is the way the Panthers chose to use him. I do think with Xavier Legette, he's probably more of a guy that you want to bring. Look, I don't think he's like AJ Brown or DK Metcalf or anything, but I think you want him to kind of develop as an outside receiver because he does have the ability to stress you out vertically when he's, you know, firing on all cylinders as a route runner. But that, you know, again, that being said, I'm still not quite sure, like, how high I am on Xavier Legette and whether I really think, like, yeah, definitely a day two guy, or maybe someone that's, you know, maybe kind of an early late day three, early round four type. But I don't think he's a first rounder. That is one thing I've been kind of, like, pushing back on. But again, a player that I do think makes some sense for them.
Ladd McConkey at 32. What are your thoughts there? For me, if Rashee Rice is going to miss games, that's a guy who I trust to come in game one, week one, and be fine and be ready. I feel like he's gotten this. People think he's a slot. He's not a slot. He can play in the slot, but he played on the outside more than inside at Georgia. He can move all over the field. I'm a big fan of him. Maybe he doesn't have the highest ceiling like, again, Xavier Legette might have, but the floor, in my opinion, is much higher. I've been very enamored by Ladd McConkey, again, especially if Rashee Rice is going to miss games. Again, we do or do not know yet, but I think Ladd McConkey would make some sense at 32.
I'm a big Ladd McConkey fan. I really like his tape. And you're right. Like, in his reception perception sample, only 26.3% of his snaps came in the slot. He was off the ball, but he still is primarily a guy that played outside. We all know what the deal is. He's a white, kind of small receiver, so everybody thinks he's this gritty slot receiver. But you actually watch him play, and he stresses defenses out down the field as a man coverage beater. Like, I think he runs the best out routes in the class. You look at his reception perception chart. He had an out route on 13.5% of his sampled routes. He had an 83.3% success rate, which is one of the top scores in the class. And you watch him play, like, he has that great ability to push and, like, sell vertical and snap that route off to the outside. He also does that working back to the quarterback as well. Again, I think he's probably best as a flanker that moves into the slot. So we're getting kind of samey here if we have Marquise Brown and we have Rashee Rice. But You know, I don't think Marquise Brown is optimally used as an X receiver. But that being said, if you draft Ladd McConkey and you have Rashee Rice, like, you got Marquise Brown there for 1 year. We don't really care if we're optimally using him, right? Like, it's fine if he's, because then again, in that situation, I think Marquise Brown becomes the guy that you're throwing the ball to five times per game. And then you're probably trying to funnel the offense more through McConkey and through Rashee Rice when he's available. And obviously, Travis Kelce as well. So look, if he was there at pick 32 and the Chiefs took him, I think it makes all the sense in the world, not only because he can give you the layups that I think this offense lacked at times last year, especially early in the season before Rashee Rice solidified his role, but he also gives you legitimate separation as a vertical threat.
I want to follow up really quick on Rashee Rice, because I know last year when you charted him, you've said that that was a bit tainted by the foot injury, right? So coming out of college, his yards per route run were great against zone, great out of the slot, but the book on him was not, despite his highlights, not the greatest contested catch guy, not the greatest separator. Have you seen anything from his rookie season that makes you think he can move outside of the slot a little bit and be more than a power slot?
I think he can play. It just depends on the routes you're asking him to run, because that's the critical part of this conversation. Why I say, like, what he was doing at SMU versus what he was doing his rookie season was just so different. Like, if you look at his route, like his route percentage chart, versus that final year in college versus his rookie season, it's just so different. Like, it's all nine routes and curl routes, like, and comeback routes at SMU. And then he's running these like horizontal routes, slants and crossers and digs and stuff in his rookie season. I do think he showed solid ability to be an outside receiver. It's actually not too dissimilar to Amon-Ra St. Brown's rookie season, where by the end of his rookie year, you saw him get into sort of a solid range in terms of his ability to beat man coverage. And we know that St. Brown is a maniacal worker. He's a guy that really dug in on the craft, and he just continued to put that work in and got better and better. And then in his second season, he gets into, right around just above league average in terms of his ability to beat man and press coverage. And then in his third season, he obviously has this explosive season where he's one of the most productive receivers in the league. I think that's the kind of path that you hope Rashee Rice can go on. And again, when you look at his zone, like, in all I have right now on him is what's in the in-season rookie report. But I think as the second half of the season numbers will be added, you'll see him as a guy that is very good against zone coverage and right around just slightly below average in terms of his ability to beat man and press. But I do think that got better and better as he played. So if that continues to develop, I think he can be a guy that maybe is not a dominant outside receiver, but a guy that you can do instead of 80-20 in terms of slot outside, maybe more like 60-40.
I love the Amon-Ra comp, but I doubt Amon-Ra's out there crashing Lambos, you know?
I mean, I thought it, you said it.
Yeah, let's continue on this track, talking about analysis kind of in the larger conversation. So there's often a gap between the data and the film analysis. And a guy like Devontez Walker is really confusing me right now, because he was second in yards per route run versus press out of this class. And yet in the Beast from Dane Brugler that came out today, he says he struggles to separate and evade press. So stuff like that kind of puts me in an existential crisis. Like, what do you do? Who's right? You know, the smart people's eyes or the reliable numbers? How do you kind of parse that out and bridge that gap?
Well, the name Treylon Burks was brought up earlier, and that's actually a very similar situation where, I mean, I remember these debates like online when Treylon Burks came out and saying, like, look at reception. He struggles against press coverage. He plays in kind of this goofy role in college, this sort of gimmicky Mickey Mouse type of role where he's actually getting a lot of handoffs and really a role that I don't think made a lot of sense for his skill set. But I did think he fit best as, he's just like Jonathan Mingo, fit best as a power slot receiver. But some of the yards per route run numbers against press were pretty impressive, but you actually go and watch those plays, and this is just a general factor of yards per route run. A couple of plays against Alabama, like, he's there in press coverage at the line of scrimmage, just probably gets charted as press coverage. I would chart it as press coverage too. And he runs a nine route. He gets separation and he catches the pass. And then he goes and runs like 70 yards down the field, even though that is like a broken coverage type of play, it all gets grouped together into what is probably a small sample of press coverage attempts for Treylon Burks because he's playing in kind of that goofy role in college. So those big plays can influence yards per route run. And we even see that at the pro level. Ryan Heath from Fantasy Points has done a great job sort of talking about these big play merchants who are really high in yards per route run, but are low in first downs per route run.
Christian Watson, right? The guy like that?
1,000% Christian Watson. He's a guy like that who's not a consistent separator, but he does make big plays. So, which is not, by the way, is not valuable. Like, big plays matter. But if we're talking about an ability to consistently beat a coverage and consistently earn targets against the coverage, just that part of it does matter in terms of your ability to separate more so than just creating the big plays. And yeah, Tez Walker, I he's a very confusing prospect to me too, because the athletic gifts are there. Some of the profile looks decent, but I do think he's a pure developmental player, a guy that's probably a day three draft pick that you want to just sort of like work along with as a developmental outside receiver. I agree with Dane's assessment that he struggles to consistently with his route running unlock from outside coverage.
Yeah, okay. And I don't want to be an idiot again and put money on a guy like that. Since I put $5 on Treylon Burks to win Rookie of the Year, I could have burnt money, at least got some warmth out of that. So I do not want to be fooled yet again. I want to talk about Oregon's Troy Franklin here. He had a good breakout age, a solid relative athletic score. Yards per route run is very high, but yet the draft community keeps souring on him. Where do you land on Troy Franklin?
Yeah, another guy that he's not even just game by game, because I think I kind of have a good grasp on him as a player. He is like a route by route player in terms of where my opinion goes, because there's no question that he struggles with his hands. Like, he's got hands issues. And for Chiefs fans specifically that have lived through the MVS experience and the Sky Moore experience and all, like, I don't know if you want to go down this path again.
Don't leave out Kadarius Toney.
Well, we're talking about wide receivers. We're talking about wide receivers. Kadarius Toney, is he even really a real wide receiver? I don't know. At this point in his career, still probably not. But anyways, like, for Troy Franklin, he certainly struggles with his hands. He struggles with hands in tight coverage. I think that does bother him. Like, his frame shows up on film. There's no question about that. There are times where I really like his route running. There are times where he's running these post routes and he's able to just get that late separation, where I can certainly envision him as a guy who, and I don't know if he's built to play X receiver in the NFL, but he played X receiver at Oregon. You know, you see him out there and like, I can envision that in the Chiefs offense, him running these post routes and getting that separation from the outside. But then there are other times where we're working over the middle of the field and he really gets roughed up. So I see him as a pretty comfortable day two draft pick. I know there are people that do data models that are super high on Troy Franklin and think he's like the fourth receiver in this draft class or the fifth receiver in this draft class. I'm not quite there. Because number one, I'm not sure what's his best position. I think he's probably too small to play. I think he's probably too skinny to play X receiver, even though he's got the frame for it generally. For me personally, I want my X receiver to do more than just stretch the defense out vertically. I want him to do these like in breaking routes, like we saw with Nico Collins in the Texans offense last year. But he is a straight line receiver. Does that really make sense as your flanker? He's certainly not going to be a slot guy. I think Troy Franklin's kind of a mixed bag of a profile. Pretty comfortable day two draft pick because he does show me some flashes of route running. He's young, if you can figure out his hands. But you're seeing the word if come up a lot in this analysis, and that's where I get stuck with Troy Franklin.
Is the comp here more Todd Pinkston because of the rare BMI, or is it Will Fuller or someone like that?
Will Fuller's not a bad one, because Will Fuller, and listen, how much of this was that final the hands, absolutely. It was a frame to a guy that was not a consistent separator, but he did have a small handful of routes where he was a really good separator, especially as his career developed. And I really liked the film on Will Fuller, his final season in Houston, but that was the season he was busted for PEDs. And like, I don't know how much that really affected it. It just took a long time for him to sort of develop as a player. I don't know. I think that's actually a pretty decent comp is kind of maybe like a poor man's Will Fuller.
DJ Shark, maybe too.
Yeah, Shark actually had a pretty decent frame on him. He's just not as skinny. But I do think that from a deployment standpoint, that also makes sense where I don't know. DJ Chark is a tough one for me because I think In 2022, he was dead last in terms of man, zone, and press success rate among NFL receivers. And then, of course, again, we bring up the Carolina Panthers. Always the second time you bring up the Carolina Panthers 2023 passing game, you know it's a good show. And he was another guy that just trotted out as like an every down outside receiver. And they were confused as to why nobody got open for Bryce Young like halfway through the season.
It's very Devontae Parker-esque there, I guess. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Florida State guys, Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. They kind of seem like the most confusing prospects in this class for different reasons. What are your thoughts on that duo?
Yeah, I haven't worked on Johnny Wilson yet because I'm just not sure if he's going to move to tight end or what. So I don't have perception profile on him. But Keon Coleman is really interesting, and this is definitely where the Rashee Rice conversation comes into effect here, because I did the research on this after JP Bennett in my Discord, shout out to JP Bennett, noted this, like it might be actually more instructive to look at reception perception poor performers in college than it would be to look at the high performing receivers in terms of like predictiveness, right? So I looked back at the guys that were below the 35th percentile in two of the three or all three of success rate versus man, zone, and press coverage. The overall kind of takeaways from that, there were 32 players total among the draft classes I've sampled. Nine of these guys have had like moments in the league, 28%. I would say five of them are true inarguable hits. That's only 15.6% of these players. They were all big slot receivers. Like it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's Rashee Rice, who we talked about. It's Juju Smith-Schuster, who another big slot receiver. So I bring that up to say Keon Coleman fits into this bucket of players. He fits into this bucket of players who's a poor performer against man and press coverage in terms of his success rate. That's just an unavoidable reality of his game, is that he is not going to be a consistent separator against man and press coverage. Now, you can see that and say, well, he's a contested catch threat. Who cares? We'll just throw him jump balls. For me, I think you're inviting inefficiency in your passing game if you're going to play you brought up Devontae Parker, a lack of separation receiver, and just throw him jump balls. Like you better have the right quarterback to do that. And like Mahomes could make those throws, but he's smart enough now to not take those throws. Nate Tice did a podcast with us going to the Super Bowl over at Yahoo. And the best way to explain Patrick Mahomes is that he's become comfortable and okay and honestly like excited by just being boring, you know, just like taking the easy plays, and he still has the magic plays within him, but that's what makes him the best quarterback in the league, is that he's okay with taking those boring plays. Throwing a Keon Coleman on the outside is not going to be boring. Like it's going to be an adventure every single time because he's not going to have that separation. But you do see signs from Keon Coleman, 80% success rate versus zone coverage. Like the ability to, I think, transition to that big slot receiver role is there. And despite the fact that he's not a separator against man and zone coverage, I'm still going to have him rated in like a solid rating in terms of where he can go in the draft. Like I think he's a good day two option because there's a clear vision for this archetype of receiver to do the Rashee Rice, move from the outside and move into the slot and run like crossing routes and stuff. So I think he makes sense kind of in that range as a player. I will tell you guys how I feel about Keon Coleman with a lot more confidence after the draft as opposed to now, because then I'll know what coaching staff is going to be managing that deployment.
That's good call right there. And just going back to Mahomes, and as far as he's not a jump ball thrower and he sometimes can be boring now, if you will, it gave me so much more respect for Tom Brady. Like it gave me so much more respect for, oh, he's just chucking the ball down. Well, yeah, because they're winning games. It doesn't matter how you win games. The goal of football is to win games. You don't get extra points for doing something that looks cool. It's not how the game works. So when you beat the Ravens in the playoffs, that was the moment where I go, oh my goodness, I actually have a greater respect for Tom Brady for just at times controlling the game the same way Mahomes did in that one, which I thought was a fascinating thought process that I never thought I would say about Patrick freaking Mahomes. Last year, you actually pointed out that Jaden Reed was a strong sleeper. And yeah, he was. Jaden Reed was a stud. Who are you planting your flag in for this season?
Ricky Pearsall. Love Ricky Pearsall's game. Big fan of him just as a route runner. He's a guy who has like a long college career. There's no question about that. You know, that's going to ding him in terms of some data models.
Is he 24?
I think he will be a 24-year-old rookie. I think he turns 24 in late September, early October. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's around the rim. You got to try to know these guys' birthday. Dude, I don't even know like everybody that I'm friends with's birthday. So the prospect birthdays do trip me up a little bit. But Ricky Pearsall, older college player, no question about that, but really love the route running this year, just from a technique perspective, but also a guy that does bring you that athleticism down the field as well. You see him explode on post routes, on corner routes. I like that you get kind of exposure to him playing all three positions, multiple sides of the field. I don't think his best home is at X receiver in the NFL, but I think he can survive playing X receiver, maybe like 30% of his plays. Probably best as a slot receiver, probably best as a flanker receiver, but really love the way he attacks defensive backs from a man coverage perspective. I love the way he performs in just one-on-one route situations. Like, his success rate versus man coverage is right up there with some of the best receivers in this class. Same with success rate versus zone. Now, he's kind of closer to the 51st percentile against press coverage, but that's not horrible. Like, I'm not going to kill you for 51st percentile, especially when I'm mostly sampling top prospects as it is. Also really love his hands, man. Reliable hands, like the inverse of what we talked about with Troy Franklin, where he is comfortable in tight coverage. He's got a great bit of technique and timing in terms of his ability to get up there and win contested passes. Just, I can see him being a guy that year one, he's maybe your third best receiver, and he's like your quarterback's best friend. You know, like, I know where Ricky Pearsall is. Maybe he's the second read on a play, but like, I trust him to be where he's supposed to be. I trust him to hit all of his landmarks when we're working against zone coverage. But maybe 2-3 years down the line, he's a guy that you can feel comfortable throwing the ball to 120 times a game. He's an awesome second round pick to me. Pretty similar to how I felt about Jaden Reed last year, but I think Pearsall is actually a little bit better of a prospect.
I want to ask you two guys, one guy who is going back to college and one guy who might be a late round or an undrafted guy, Theo Weiss from Mizzou. Don't know if you've heard of Theo Weiss from Mizzou. He'd be a traditional X. Really good last year for the Missouri Tigers. Again, I'm a Mizzou guy, so that's a poll right there. The other guy, Luther Burden. I don't know if you've seen any Luther Burden. He's going to be the Malik Nabers. He's going to be the top five draft pick, I think, next year at wide receiver. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at Luther Burden at all.
I have not. Typically, I only stick with like the current draft prospects, just because there's enough on my plate as it is, you know.
Man, and I don't. Okay, I'm telling you right now, the next year when you get a chance to look at Luther Burden, say, who told me to look more at Luther Burden? And you're going to remember.
I'm gonna remember this moment.
You're going to remember this moment and say, Luther Burden is a top five pick.
Well, Sterling, I have a guy actually from this year's class.
Sorry, I'm excited, okay? I want Luther Burden to be a Kansas City Chief
I think a lot of people do. But in the past, you've kind of pointed out that there's this sort of, I guess I'd call it like a slender separator archetype, guys that aren't big, they're not explosive, but they can just play football. The Stephon Diggs, Deontay Johnson, Jaden Reed, there's a guy that I think kind of fits in that category this year, Jamari Thrash from Louisville. Have you got a chance to look at him at all?
I've had a couple games, and I think he's definitely on that sort of path to me. But some of the skills kind of need to fully come together. But people said the same thing about Stephon Diggs coming out of college. So that makes sense in terms of that sort of archetype receiver, maybe a developmental separation based guy. I think he's in that bucket. I think Jermaine Burton is kind of in that bucket, but Burton's maybe a little bit more of the actualized version of that. But yeah, Thrash is a guy that maybe probably comes out as a day three pick, but I do think he's a guy that fits into that bucket of receivers that we're talking about, where maybe he's a slot, but could maybe develop into that speed receiver on the outside that's best deployed as a flanker. Yeah, speed receiver isn't really the best way to say it, but a guy that separates down the field and give you those chunk plays.
Since you mentioned Burton, this will be the last question. How far do you think he can fall because of the personality off the field kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's going to just depend team by team. Every team has a different level of tolerance for it.
The Chiefs have a pretty high tolerance.
I thought it, you said it on that one.
It's safer for me on this program to say it than you.
Yeah, you got the logo behind you. It makes more sense. I do think that he is a guy that probably, if there was no issues, would be a day two draft pick, and like maybe even a solid round two draft pick. Like, he's produced at big schools. the film is really, really good on him in terms of like the ability to separate and really show some deep technical nuance as a route runner. I think people are going to be excited about his reception perception profile when it comes out. But all these concerns, you know, this is a deep receiver class like this. It's funny because it's not deep with like first rounders. I really think there's only like four guys with true round one grades. There's the top three guys, you know, which are tier one prospects, like top 10 picks. They should be top 10 picks. They deserve that ranking. Then there's Brian Thomas Jr., who I think is like a clear first rounder. And then once we get into that, it's like then there's the Ricky Pearsalls and the Ladd McConkey and the A.D. Mitchell. To me, that's kind of where that next tier sort of comes together. And then it gets super crowded there. We're just like pick your flavor type of player as a round two, round three player. So if I'm an NFL team and I'm sitting there like weighing all these guys against each other, I can see teams like consistently breaking ties against Burton. If they're like, yeah, we don't want to have this guy in the building for this reason or that reason. I don't know. I don't know Jermaine Burton. I don't know anybody that knows Jermaine Burton. I've never talked to him. So I can't say that judgment from my own perspective, but teams will have obviously way better access than what I just said. And they can again, consistently just break ties against him, and it pushes him down the board way past where like his talent deserves to go.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for being here. It's Matt Harmon of Reception Perception and Yahoo. If you guys haven't checked out Reception Perception, now is the time to do it. This is the guy that can get you ready for this wide receiver class and the draft. Thanks again, Matt.
Hey, appreciate you guys. It's a fun class. Love talking about it with you. And as always, appreciate you having me on.
Take care. Whew, a lot of information, man. I feel like just picking his brain is something, you know, because he just spends so much time with each of these classes. But also he has the historical context because he kind of came up with this method of charting all the routes and all the different coverages. And he's been doing it for, I want to say, something like going on a decade. So he can think back, you know, and kind of his mental Rolodex and say, ah, yeah, this guy kind of is like this guy. And so
if there's a dude to trust when it comes to wide receivers, it's him. Like, if there is a guy to trust specifically on wide receivers, I don't know if there's anyone better than Matt Harmon. I mean, that's what he does. Like, some people have, you know, offensive line and they try to get to everything. If you just want wide receiver knowledge, it's Harmon right there.
Yeah, definitely. He's kind of carved out a really nice niche for himself. And he, you know, he also covers fantasy football for Yahoo. Yeah. So he really understands the game. But I think fantasy football really primes you to know this position because there are a lot of sort of signs, breadcrumbs, like early breakout that usually point to a strong performance in the pros. But after talking with him, I'm still feeling good about Jamari Thrash, a little less so about Devontae Walker, feeling great about Ladd McConkey. You have to feel great about Ladd McConkey. And Ricky Pearsall has to be on the radar, perhaps even Keon Coleman. But I think a lot of that depends on Rashee Rice, because if Rashee Rice is going to be in the slot a lot and Hollywood's going to be in there a little bit and Travis is going to be in there a little bit, can you really have a rookie who's best in the slot and get him in there as much as you want? I don't know.
Cornell Powell season, baby.
Oh God. Talk about old receivers, man. That now I'm having PTSD with Cornell Powell and thinking, yeah, Ricky Pearsall is pretty old. He's pretty old. How do you feel about Xavier Leggett after hearing Matt's take?
All the way in.
You're still all in? All in at 32 or all in at
no, 64. In the second round? 64, yeah, not 32. We agree there. I think 32 is too much. Again, he is very inconsistent. My whole thing is we knew there were going to be inconsistencies with Xavier Leggett. It's can he polish his game since he is relatively new? I think he can. Like that's my perspective, and I think that's maybe a little bit where he was going. But again, not first rounder, but in the second round, I want to take a shot on a guy who has the legitimate top end upside.
Well, we've seen the Chiefs for each of their second round receivers that they've drafted, they did a minor trade. That's how they got McColl. They went up. They went up to get Rashee Rice, and they actually went back to get Sky Moore. So yep. I think we might see them maneuver in round two and get that receiver
idea. Best idea of all time. Best. I mean, this is it. Make me the assistant GM. You draft Ladd McConkey in the first round, and then you draft Xavier Leggett in the second. Boom. You're welcome, everyone. You have the floor. You have the ceiling. Come on.
Chiefs fans would not be mad. You got to hedge your bet, knowing you're going to get Leggett later on with the safe guy. I wouldn't. I think you got a decent ceiling, McConkey. You know, they have so much talent at Georgia and they play a certain way. I don't think he was able to be featured the way, you know, it's that same George Karloftis conversation that we have, right? Right.
That's where I was going with. There's George Karloftis where everyone thinks that he just is a floor guy. And you go, no, there's way more ceiling there. I'm the same way with Ladd McConkey. I think he has a very high floor, but I think the ceiling is also there as well. Again, I'm not saying the ceiling's there as a Marvin Harrison Jr., but I think the ceiling is much more than I think he gets credit for.
There was a question floating around. Would you trade three number ones, essentially, for the Chiefs to go up and get Marvin Harrison Jr.? That's the Cardinals' asking price.
No. And the main reason being is that's too much for out of your hands, too much risk out of your hands.
If injury he gets were to hurt. Happen,
just anything. Yeah, they're like, even if he's really, really good, you have to legitimately be Marvin Harrison. Like, you legit have to be a Hall of Famer. For me to make that deal, and that's just too much risk not knowing how many guys have been drafted high, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, they're really good, but they weren't that good.
Yeah, on one hand, our first round picks aren't that high, but on the other hand, if he gets hurt and we have sunken all this capital in one player, when we have contracts like Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs don't have the means via free agency to go out and get someone of that caliber. So they kind of have to do it by the draft.
It's the only way you get boned with Mahomes as your quarterback is if you do something like that.
And that's why they moved away from Tyreek Hill. I think they just thought for the cap hit, there was just too much risk in one player, given that they already had a lot of risk tied up into Mahomes and Jones. Well, guys, that's all we've got today for you. Great show, one of my favorite shows of the year, having Matt on. So thank you guys for participating. Props to the chat. Please mash the like button. And if you're not subscribing, go ahead and do that for us. AudioPod listeners, please consider giving us a 5-star review on either Apple or Spotify. That really helps us out. Join us next Wednesday. We have a new time. We've only been doing this for 2 or 3 weeks now. 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. We're trying to hit more of the after work crowd right here on the Arrowhead Attic channel. Until then, go Chiefs.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.